재미와 지식의 오디오라이프 팝빵.
And continuing our international news digest, the latest crackdown by Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan to remove the supporters of Fethullah Gulen from the state apparatus. Now, Turkey has dismissed a further 10,000 civil servants and closed 15 media outlets, with more than 100,000 people having been sacked so far since the country's failed coup attempt back in July. To give us more understanding about what's going on, we're pleased to have joining us from the University of Newcastle in Australia, history professor Hans Lucas Kieser. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Thank you so much for joining us, professor. It's been more than 3 months after this failed coup in Turkey. Do we have a better picture of what exactly happened here? Who were the masterminds? Was this a small-scale movement, or does this point to a larger picture of discontent among the military and the civil servant class?
Yeah, it's clearly a larger picture of discontent, and especially in the army. So it's not alone, the Gulenist movement, even if there are certainly certain persons related to Gulen in the center of this plot. But we were not shown material and proofs that would prove that it was just exclusively a plot made by Gulen people. So what was plausible already in July is still plausible, that there was, of course, and for good reasons, also lot of discontent in the army by people that were not related to Gulen himself.
Now, the critics of the current government will say that Erdogan is now politically exploiting the situation, using the coup now to sort of consolidate his grip on power, also maybe to muzzle the voices of the opposition, including members of the media. Is that a valid criticism?
Yeah, that's certainly valid, and it's even more. We must say that the coup of July serves as a catalyst for a policy that had already started in July 2015, that is a year earlier, that is when Erdogan felt a very deep dissatisfaction with the results of the elections of June 2015. So in fact, you may call this a kind of policy and authoritarian presidential regime as the goal that started already in 2015, and the coup now serves really as a catalyst to go much further than we could go before. And so the targets now are far beyond the given movement, and especially the Kurds and the Kurds, organized Kurds, or what now is the news of this day, that is the party, the only really democratic party in Turkey, the HDP, that has a majority of Kurds, but also other democratic people, were now the presidents, the both co-presidents have been arrested.
Is it possible then, and although two very different countries and not even very friendly with each other, but Erdogan may follow then the model of Vladimir Putin, where he consolidates power to the extent where he can be a de facto authoritarian figure indefinitely in power within the country?
I'm not sure if Putin is really the good, pertinent comparison.
Okay.
In this case. So the real inspiration for Erdogan is, of course, Sultan Abdulhamid, even if he was the Sultan of the late 19th century, who had been called a despot, and who was, in fact, the last really strong Ottoman Sultan, who had built up a palace regime in Istanbul, in the Yıldız Palace. So there are some parallels with now the palace in Ankara that has been built up since 2014. And very unfortunately, we must also bring Adolf Hitler into the picture, because Erdogan himself has referred to Hitler to speak about the utility of a presidential system, to speak about the efficiency of a presidential system last year.
Is now a time to say that the vision of Ataturk, this idea of a completely secular Turkey, is that now in the past? Can we no longer get back to that kind of a model for a democratic Turkey? Or do you feel that there is still a chance that Turkey can return back to those secular roots?
We are certainly clearly now in a post-Kemalist era since a few years. And it is clear that the main reference and orientation of Erdogan and the AKP is Islam, and Islam against the Ottoman background. But still, as long as the Swiss inspired civil code is enforced, we may say that it is still a secular, at least in its core. There is a secular substance, even if many other elements are clearly Islamist. So I would not yet say that we are definitively beyond any secular framework.
And bottom line, how does this, affect the Turkish economy, its international relations with countries like the European Union?
This does, of course, much affect foreign policy. Turkey is now very clearly an extremely critical partner, a difficult partner, a problematic partner. It has become very deeply anti-democratic. And you may remember that in 2008-09, still the AKP government was looked upon as a model for a muddling democracy. So this has totally turned. This has its effect on policy, of course, also on the economy, but you know that people may do a lot of affairs also with their spots, and so he has, in this respect, the Turkey still manages quite successfully the economy, despite some problems.
We're going to have to leave it there. Professor, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your expertise.
You are very welcome. Thank you.